If you could turn in your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3, as we're doing that, we have the men's retreat sign up at the back. Is it 23rd and 24th of October? Is that correct? Praise the Lord. We're going to have our men's retreat this year, October 23rd and 24th, a Friday into a Saturday morning. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. If you have any questions about it, if you've not gone before or particular questions about it, the man right there in the green shirt, Mr. Brian Simillion, check in with him and he'll give you all the details. So, in Philippians chapter 3, we've been, during my time in offertory, beginning to talk about the way that the Lord begins to bring burdens upon our heart, particularly in sharing God's word within the church and teaching and what that begins to look like and the way that he begins to stir in that. And we've had opportunity to get to hear different ones' testimonies of how the Lord's worked in that. And we will this morning as well. And if you look with me in Philippians 3, we really have that with Paul in the sense that he begins to go down, we would say, almost kind of a resume of things that had really defined his life, things that perhaps Paul had thought were going to really endear him to God or endear him to men, that he had accomplished things of his background. He begins to list these things down. He says, verse 5, he was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as the law, a Pharisee, zeal, a persecutor of the church, righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. He begins to list these things down that men would begin to esteem in a sense of success. And we know in a part of Paul's heart, probably thought some of these things would be pleasing to God, what would be right and wrong in his life. But he comes down in verse 7, he says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. And he said, this is not a righteousness of his own derived from the law, but this is that which we find in faith in Christ. He begins to go on in the text and he says, it's not as if he's arrived, verse 12. He'll say he's not obtained it or become perfect, but he'll begin to repeat this phrase that he desires to press on, to know Christ more deeply. And he begins to encourage the brethren in this way as he says, verse 12, he'll say he's pressing on. Verse 13, reaching forward. Verse 14, pressing on again towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He then begins to come alongside the brethren and he says, look, brethren, verse 17, join with me in this, with those of us that are desiring to know Christ more, to begin to understand what this relationship really looks like. You begin to see that through the things that had gone on in Paul's life that he had pursued, the way that he had thought at once, God had begun to create a burden in Paul's heart for this Philippian church and desiring them to know what really was valuable, what really was esteemed in God's eyes, and then to desire to really press on and to know him more, to follow him more. And I wanted to bring Talon up this morning. Talon and I get to meet together in discipleship in between young ones being born. We make the joke. Yeah. We had speaking of men's retreat this past year, we'd had the time of the men's retreat. And one of the things that Pastor Gary was really kind of leading us through in that time and in the group that you and I were in as well is those different experiences and things that maybe at one time we viewed as a great difficulty or something that we didn't really see what God was doing in that.
Yeah.
And yet God began to use that to make us feel very strongly about certain things. Mm-hmm. And this really kind of began to stir in your heart. And I know in you and I talking right after, really began to put a burden on your heart in teaching within the body with the young youth,
right,
teenagers. And so I'll let you kind of share what were some of those things that God began to really solidify burdens on your heart, and how did that lead to wanting to teach with the youth?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, the most valuable thing I got out of that men's retreat was to look at the instances that God has worked in your life over the course of your entire life, yeah, and piece those together, because we know he's constantly working on us for the purpose of bettering his kingdom. Yeah. And so it's, you know, it's in those times, it can be difficult to acknowledge that that is what he's doing. Yeah. So I think that's, you know, that James verse is one of my favorites. Consider it joy when you encounter various trials, because the testing of your faith produces endurance. And so, you know, as I was thinking through that men's retreat, that verse comes back to my mind. And that word trials, I think it's easy for us to only think of what we would consider bad things that have happened in our life as trials.
Yeah.
But that God really brings us good things as trials also, mm-hmm, to see how we would handle it when, yeah, he's given us abundance or whatever it may, mm-hmm, be. And so, you know, I think as I reflected on that time and, you know, my desire to teach, early on, I don't think it was a desire to teach necessarily at all.
No. In fact, you and I had talked about it earlier, yeah, on, and you were like, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not yet.
Yeah. And so it was, I think, more of a spirit led compulsion to do that. And so I think that, the big thing that, as I was reflecting on the purpose for teaching, I didn't want to teach for the sake of it, or certainly not to hear myself talk. Yeah. But I think that desire to really get, especially the youth, to consider their own faith as they go through this changing stage, like we've talked about before. You know, you start off, you're living with your parents, you're brought to church. Maybe you want to go, maybe you don't want to go, but it's easy to piggyback that faith off of somebody else. And through my own walk, you know, I had seen early on what Christians act like. And, you know, for those of you that I guess don't know my story as much, is we, you know, I had been in a lot of different situations through school or home life early on where Christians were doing things that were not Christianly. Mm-hmm. And so it really kind of early on, it drove me away from that desire to pursue Christ, because I basically looked at, like, listen, if this is how a Christian acts, I don't really want to have anything to do with that.
Kind of had like a moral standard of your own, yeah, in a sense, but it was separate from Christ.
Yeah. And so, and that was, I mean, you know, growing up, my dad, one of the things that he taught me was to question everything, mm-hmm, and not out of a sense of like rebelliousness, but out of a sense of not relying on someone else to do your thinking for you.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's one of the big things that drew me to teaching the youth specifically, is that as you go through this transitional period where, you know, you're in a home with your parents to moving out to now you got all this, you can do whatever you want at this point, right? And I think that maintaining that anchor and really thinking about your anchoring yourself in Christ is how you're going to get through those transitions. It's how you're going to determine the type of work that you're going to do for the kingdom. And so I think that, you know, as we've been going through these youth teachings, we've been going through different questions that the Bible asks, and specifically right now that Christ asks us. And I just thought it was so helpful for me to go through these with the youth and for them, to just contemplate why Jesus would ask us questions at all. And, you know, he already knows the answer, so he's not doing it for his own benefit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really, what benefit are we gaining out of those? Yeah. And the type of internal reflection that is a result of that. So I think that men's retreat, the kind of unlocking point in my mind, I guess, when I really felt the Spirit move, yeah, was to, that we laid out all of these different things that had occurred in our life up until that point, yeah, and the purpose of them. I mean, really reflecting on, why did these things happen to me, or why did I choose to do things in certain cases, yeah, and how God ultimately orchestrated that to serve his purpose.
Yeah, so, all those questions, all that stirring he was doing in your heart,
yeah,
was one, rescuing you, but then beginning to give you those burdens for his people.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I never doubted the existence of God. I'd grown up in churches and around, you know, but it was never a personal thing. Like, there was never a relationship. I mean, the entire book of John basically didn't exist to me.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until later on that I could recognize his love for me through, you know, the good things and the bad things that happened to me, that I really came to understand that he's using those to ultimately grow me closer and using those to help others. And I think that's kind of what made me land on wanting to teach the youth or just teach in general, I guess. So I did have a verse when you mentioned it, so that, I mean, this is kind of a popular one, Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And when you see this verse around, you know, on wall hangings and that kind of stuff, and it always stops there. But afterward, you know, verse 12, it goes, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And so I think it's easy that, you know, that first part, it makes us feel good about ourselves when we know that God has a plan for us, but we forget about that part where we're supposed to be reaching out to him too and seeking him with our heart. And when you're not seeking with your heart, it doesn't mean he's not doing that good in your life, but you really lose a lot of the benefit of it because you don't have the understanding of why these things are happening. And so I think that's kind of with the questions, what made me want to go that route, not necessarily just questioning things around us, but really internalizing it and making it personal.
Wanting to know that relationship for yourself.
Yeah.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
You know, there are things, as Talon has shared, there's things in each one of our lives that were a part of bringing us to him, and a part of things that, whether happened around us or that we did, that begin to stir in our heart. It's a part of how God began to draw us to himself. It's also a part of how he may put certain burdens on your heart for the body. And it's a great thing to begin to come to him and begin to seek his leading in this. If, as we've shared throughout this time of sharing testimonies, he makes it so clear in his word, and you begin to go to passages like 1 Corinthians 12. If you're a part of the body, there's a reason you're a part of the body. God has a way in which he's going to lead, and he's going to equip you to begin to be activated in that way. And so look forward to how the Lord leads in each one of you in that. So we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for knowing us more intimately than we could ever know ourselves or anyone could ever begin to see within our hearts. And Lord, you knew what it takes to rescue us, and you know exactly how and why you've placed us in the body that you have. We're so thankful that not only did you rescue us and give us a hope of eternity with you, but that, Lord, you would give us opportunity to serve in your house. You would give us opportunity to build one another up in our relationship with you. Lord, may we seek you in this way and desire to know you more in our walk, and Lord, desire to know exactly how you've placed us where we are. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.